God speaks on covetousness. Now, one of the things that you'll find out about covetousness is that I believe that it is one of the secret weapons that the devil has, that he is infiltrating the Lord's church with. Because, for instance, with immorality, it's preached on. It's hit. It's talked about pornography. It's talked about poor internet use. It's talked about the music. It's talked about, just behavior. Impurity, immodesty, that's talked about and things like that. But what happens is, I believe that covetousness goes right under. Like, it just kind of hides right underneath the rug. Because what happens is, covetousness is the desire for something more, to have more. I call it kind of like the wanter. You know how your eyes are? As soon as you wake up, you look around, and you just, when you go places, your eyes just cannot take in enough. And I believe that that's what covetousness is that we have things, God has blessed us with things, but we get going and start looking at something else. With something else out there. It's interesting because I took my boy to Pasadena, and I wanted him to show him something that's not very common in the Midwest. And so we went to a Rolls-Royce dealer. So we went to a Rolls-Royce dealer, and we went over there, and of course, the Rolls-Royce man comes up, he notices that we cannot afford one of these, And so he's over there, and he says, well, can I help you? You know, he didn't know what we wanted. Well, do you need to use the restroom or something? It's back here or whatever. But so then he comes in, and he's nice about it, and he knows. He plays along with us, and he starts telling us about this Rolls-Royce. First of all, we noticed the big sticker, $371,000. That's a lot of money, $371,000. And, that doesn't include any gas. So can you imagine? Big old, I think it's a 12-cylinder monster. And so, and they don't even worry about the miles per gallon. If you have that much money, you better afford the miles per gallon that you're going to get. And so it's this huge thing. It's big. It's 130 inches. Now, if you look at a minivan, they're usually 103 inches. So this is 130 inches. Great big. It's wide. You could fit four adults in the back seat, side by side. That's how big it is. But, you look at this, and he goes, you know what? It's handcrafted. He says everything about it. He says each fender has been made individually. It's not by a machine that puts out a whole bunch of them. He says, each one is individual. He says, look at the wood. He says, that's real wood. That's not plastic. That's not plastic that's been covered over. No, it's all real. And then he says, well, we sell about 14 of these a year. That's not a whole lot, is it? Well, needless to say, I tell you what, I don't covet a Rolls Royce. That's way out of my price. So the devil's not going to pull this Rolls Royce, this black shadow, pull this $371,000 machine, pull it in front of me, because it's not going to bother me. I'll say ooh and ah and things like that, but it's not going to bother me. He's going to get down to my level. He's going to pull out something. Maybe a Dodge. Maybe a Toyota. something that is more easily attainable. And what's interesting about it is that covetousness is something that goes in the Christian, and I believe it's pulling people out of the church, but not really pulling them out. They're still going to church, kind of, but they have to go get other jobs because they got these bigger ideas, they got these bigger things that they need. And so they get these jobs, and they don't even look to see if they're going to miss Sunday. Oh, we'll go to church Sunday once. That way we can get our Lord's Supper. But anything else, we're not going to do fellowship dinners. We're not going to do anything extra. In fact, Wednesdays, that's out of the question. I'm going to put my time in for that one special day. And I've seen that throughout my Christian life. I've seen people just getting pulled out of the church because they want more. They can't afford it, so they go out there and they get another job, or they get a job that pays more, and it conflicts with church. That's covetousness. Yeah, they don't have a problem with immorality. Yeah, they don't have a problem with immodesty. And yeah, they don't have other problems, other issues. But I want. I believe here in America, we have so much to desire. Other countries, for instance, Sudan, they don't have a whole lot. A lot of them live in refugee camps, and they're sitting there in a refugee camp, and what can they desire? There's nothing out there. They don't even have a job. They can't have a job. But here, we want more and more and more. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 9, and we'll see what Apostle Paul says. And this is a very interesting scripture here, 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 9. And we find out that this is where he's telling to expel the immoral brother. But what we find that is not the only problem. That is not the only problem. So verse 9, it says there, I've written you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people. Not at all meaning the people of this world who are immoral or the greedy and swindlers or idolaters. In this case, you would have to leave this world. So he right away makes the statement. He says, it's not about those that are in the world, those that are not Christians, because we need to reach out to them. We know that Jesus Christ, what did he do? He ate with them. He spoke with them. He talked with them. He visited with them. He tried to persuade them to become Christians. No, what Apostle Paul says, it goes on, and he says here, but now I'm writing to you that you must not associate with anyone who calls himself a brother, but is sexually immoral. Right away we say, oh yeah, that's not right. If we know someone's living with somebody that's not, you know, two people that are not married and they're living with each other or they're acting immorally, that's wrong. We know that's wrong. But then it goes on. It says, or the greedy. And in the Greek, that's covetous. If you have the King James, that's covetous. Swindlers or idolaters. And this, it says, or a slanderer, a drunkard, or a swindler. With such a man, do not even eat. Now that's pretty tough. Because what we have here is we have the immoral. That's pretty obvious. The drunkard, that's pretty obvious. The slanderer, the guy that's out there talking about others all the time, that's pretty obvious. But the greedy, the covetous, that's the guy that forgets to say thank you for what God has blessed him with. He's the one or she's the one that is always looking for something better because they cannot say thank you to God. And so therefore they say, wow, this person, they got this nice vehicle. And they look over there, wow. And they look at this other thing. Oh, if I wish I had that person's job. Imagine what I could have. Or what about that wife? Or what about that husband? Oh, you know, my husband, you know, he was so special before, but this husband, he looks like he just treats his wife so good. How I wish I had him. And our eyes, instead of being focused on what God has given you, instead of being thankful for what God has given you, you're looking somewhere else all the time. You know, I wish that God would bless the Christians with blinders. You know, like the horses. And all you do is look straight. You're just looking straight ahead at what you're supposed to look at. But instead, we're always looking somewhere else, aren't we? We're always looking. That's why they can sell new cars. That's why they can sell new homes. That's why they can, you know, they're in Hastings, Nebraska. We go calling. We go calling on Tuesdays, Tuesdays and Wednesdays, Thursdays, and we go three times. And while we go, there's at least five empty houses that are up for sale. Okay, so you go over there and they're just as empty as can be. Now, Hastings hasn't grown in who knows how long. All they do is keep getting the farmers from outside and getting the lasso and claiming that they're part of us. And so they say that we're growing, but we haven't grown for long, long time, in 30 years or so. But how can there be so many empty houses if we haven't grown? It's because we're not happy with the house we have. There's a lot of people in Hastings that have two houses, one that's empty that can't sell, and one that they moved in that's brand new. Why? Covetousness. I want more. God says through Apostle Paul, he says, don't even associate with those people. It's interesting, the Greek definition is holding or eager for gain. So like wanting more. You ever see a little kid at a parade? You ever see that? Where, you know, there's the person throwing out the candy, and they go and they grab all this, and they don't even have any room anymore. And they're looking like, and they're looking down, and they're like, they're looking at their parent like, what do we do? I got two hands full of candy, and I got some there, but I can't get it. And they're just so frustrated. And then you say, oh, I've got a bag. So they fill that up, and then they're putting it all over, and it's just like they can't get enough. Now, that's obvious. But we as adults do the same exact thing. We want more and more and more and more. The Hebrew is to delight in. So you're thinking about something and just dreaming about it, wasting time on that. Let's take a look at Exodus chapter 20 and verse 17. We see what the Old Testament says about this. It's one of the Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 17 says, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. How many of us have neighbors that have nice houses? It says, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife. You know, a lot of times we look over there and say, wow, she's kind of good looking. But you know what? He's probably looking over there. Wow, she's kind of good looking. If you don't get your act together and you don't get yourself in control, you're going to be wanting everything someone else has. It says, or his manservant, or his maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. You notice it has a long list, and then it finally says, we're going to put generality here. Everything, anything, anything that person has, don't desire that. Be happy with what you have. Amen. You know, so many times we go through life and God has blessed you with tremendous abilities, a nice house, a wonderful mate, talent, all kinds of stuff. But we forget to appreciate it, and we're looking somewhere else. You know, it's amazing. I've got a camera that I bought, and I've been looking at it for a long time. And I finally waited till it got discontinued, so it was cut in half in price, and then I purchased it. Well, if you know anything about them, it's a 6 megapixel. Well, that's antique. There's 12, and there's 18, and there's this, and there's that. There's everything out there. And boy, if you don't have that, you're not in it. You don't know what you're missing. Oh, yeah, I could buy one every year, but that wouldn't be smart. You got to be happy. You got to be happy with what you have. And I'll tell you what, the devil can pull the happiness that's been given to us through the baptism and through being a Christian and through salvation and yank it right out of us when we have covetousness in our heart. Amen. Because we're not happy with what we have. I've seen sometimes where even the women sometimes will drive their husbands to get a better job because, you know, I need this nicer kitchen. And what does the husband do? He goes and gets a second job, and now he don't have time for his family. He don't have time for church. Yeah, he puts in one day or a half day or whatever, but that's all. And sometimes they even go weeks without going to church. It's a sad thing, but it's true. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 15, Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 27. So what is wrong with covetousness besides being unthankful and just always having a wandering eye? But Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 27 is a good scripture here that helps us understand. It says, a greedy man brings trouble to his family, but he who hates bribes will live. A greedy man brings trouble to his family. And like I said, that, you know, you might not be bringing trouble as in, like if you have a gambling habit and you spend all your money, that's greed. But some people do it the other way. They go get a job that takes them away from church. And you know what? That brings trouble to your family. It's the hardest thing I found to talk to somebody about. Is, hey, you're not putting Christ first. You're looking to this thing that you can sell later on for 50 cents at a garage sale. You know, I've gone to garage sales, and you'll see this high-priced item there, and it'll be a dollar. And they notice that you're walking off, and you say 50 cents, and they say, oh, yeah, take it. And at one time, they treasured. In fact, they might still owe on their credit card for that item. And it's sad, but we get caught up in that, to covet. I want more, I want more. And then we find out it's not as what it's all cracked up to be. It's just not there. Let's look at Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 10. We see what the richest man in the world, what he said about it. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 10 and 11. Says, whoever loves money never has money enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with his income. You see that? The coveting of I want more money. And I've heard a lot of times they'll say, you know, if I had more money, I'd give more to the church. It's surprising because in a couple years, they're going to be earning more, but they haven't given any more. You know, it's all for me. It's all for me. It says, you love money, and you just love it more, and you can't have enough, and it's a sad thing. It just goes and goes and goes. Michael Vick, January 17, 2005. He signed a 10-year contract worth $130 million. $37 million of that was in bonuses, guaranteed bonuses. July 8th, 2008, just this year, just a month ago, or just this month, he filed for bankruptcy protection. $130 million. That's not counting the money he earned before that. Who knows what he earned? And this is what he says. He says he owes between $10 to $50 million to creditors. Seven of the largest creditors that he owes equals $12.8 million. Now, what happened to all the other money? I know that the Atlanta team tried to get some of his money because he's in prison now, but he still had a whole lot of money. In fact, they froze it so that they couldn't get the money. But yet he still says, I can't pay my bills. Now you say, well, if I had $130 million, I could do a whole lot. If I had $37 million of guaranteed money, I could do all kinds of stuff. Yeah, you could probably end up like him. Mike Tyson, you remember him? Little short guy? Little bald short guy? Okay. He used to beat up on people. He made $300 million in his career. You know how much money he has right now? Nothing. Filed for bankruptcy. $300 million. Can you imagine having $300 million? Well, it's not going to make you happier. In fact, I should have wrote down his quote, but he said something like in the year 2005 when he lost a bunch of money and he lost his title and everything, he says, you know, I'm one of the most miserable men ever existed. $300 million slipping right through his fingers. He could have done great things with that. But instead, covetousness. It's a poison. And it'll kill you. Or it'll kill your family while pursuing it. There was a man that named Bob James, and he was looking at this these ants. They were stinging ants, and he didn't want those ants around. So he got some poison together, and he put it there right by the ants. And so the ants got all excited because they thought it was food. And so they started hoarding it. They grabbed it, and they put it in their colony, and they were stacking it up. And they stacked up this poison. And while he was watching, he was thinking, wow, you guys are going to kill yourself. All of a sudden, the pile started getting smaller. From inside, from the middle part, it started falling down. Like, almost like through the sink, just kind of falling through. Well, he noticed that there were some smaller ants. And these smaller ants were eagerly stealing that poison away to take to their colony. Only for them to die also. You know what? That's what covetousness is. It's a poison. And we bring it into our house only to slowly deteriorate the morals, the values of Christianity. You know, I think about us and how we think, well, you know what? I did without this and I didn't have this, and so I want to give this to my children. We think we're doing a great thing. We think, oh, you know, we didn't have this, and so we want them to have that. And we, you know, we're kind of embarrassed for this. And so, you know, when we went to school, we didn't have, we're not in the in crowd, so we're going to give them some of that. What's really popular about these young people? Well, we're going to buy them that kind of stuff. And we're not going to, you know, they're going to have everything that we didn't have. You're hurting them. Besides that, you're going to have to work more. And you give them less time. It's amazing what they value. The other day, actually it was Sunday, we were getting ready, you know, still recuperating from Cozad Youth Camp and cleaning up and getting things washed and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So Sunday afternoon, my boy had a bunch of boys over. And I was outside. I was talking with someone about some personal things, about his family, and trying to work with his family and his girls. And so I'm talking with him for a long time. Well, he comes out, and he says, Dad, he says, when you're done, can you play football with us? Now, he didn't ask for Xbox 360, PlayStation, you know, 3, or he didn't ask for all that. He just says, Dad, can you play with us? And I said, sure. Sure, Anthony, I'll do that. And so we continued talking, and we were done. And the guy that I was speaking with noticed that, you know, that the guys were playing catch, and they were, you know, kind of getting like they wanted to play. And so he finally finished talking, and he departed, and we went and played. That's fun. It didn't cost anything, but it was special. And those boys enjoyed it. You know, sometimes we have the wrong idea of what they want or what they need. And it might be just, will you do this with me? I remember when they were little, they would always want you to read books. And I got kind of bored with the books because they're the same books. So I devised a plan. I would open the book, and I would just tell them a story with those pictures. And you know how they memorize, Dad, that's not right. I say, well, this is a new story. And so then every time they wanted a new version, they'd come and ask Dad to read them a book because there's that new story. Now, hopefully, you know, they get the right story, you know, but at least, you know, they're like, wow, this is cool. You know, it doesn't have to be that way. Covetousness, desiring something we really don't need, or desiring something for our loved ones that they really don't need, and then paying for it in the long run. I've got 5 minutes. Jesus Christ came to the world and he chose 12 people, 12 special people. He gave them all ability to do all kinds of things. They were all blessed equally. They were all blessed equally. They could get rid of the evil spirits. They could raise the dead. They could heal the blind. They could do all those things. And they had the same amount of teaching. And he was right there. They could ask him any question and he would answer them. Sometimes we say, well, if Jesus was here, we could take care of ourselves better. Judas had that opportunity. He had that opportunity. And it's a sad thing because what he did was he started sneaking around because he coveted money. He was a treasurer. And as he was a treasurer, what he did was he would get that treasure money and he would put a little bit in for himself and the rest for whatever that needed to be done. He did that, it says. And he did that time and time again. Now, the first time he did it, it probably bothered him. You know, I shouldn't be doing this. And perhaps Jesus snuck a little special look at him like, hey, what are you doing? As he snuck that look at Peter when he was forsaken. So he looks at him and he says, oh man, I shouldn't be doing this. But he did it continually. Until finally, the Gospels expose him. But it's interesting because in John, it talks about Judas saying about the perfume that was spilled on Jesus or put on Jesus. It says, hey, you should have sold that and given to the poor. But in Matthew, you find out that actually all the disciples said that. But we find out that Judas said it for a different motive. He wanted money for himself. You might say, well, that's not, you know, I know I've been kind of looking somewhere else and I've been sacrificing my time for church and, you know, going to this job, putting a little more hours and just kind of casting out what God wants me to do because I want this thing or that. At first, you probably missed one day and you thought, wow, this bothers me. But sooner or later, it won't. And what's the sad thing about this whole story is that it says in Matthew, it says, after this, when he said that, he went to the chief priest and said, how much do you want? Or how much can you give me so that I could betray Jesus Christ? And they said, 30 shekels of silver. When you look up in Exodus, you find out that this was a payment for buying a slave. They were insulting Jesus Christ. They said, he's not worth anything. He's worth a slave. And they gave him 30 shekels of silver. Now you would think that would bother Judas. Oh, that's terrible. You should give me more. But he took it. And he looked for opportunity to betray Jesus. You see how he just degraded? Jesus didn't mean a whole lot. He met a whole bunch before, but now he's worth just a slave's payment. And then when Jesus was led away after he betrayed him, he got so much remorse. He realized what he had done. I'm guilty of covetousness. And he went and he got that 30 shekels and he says, here. And he says, we don't want that. So he throws it down. And he leaves, and he hangs himself. And you look at that and you say, Judas, did you really enjoy that? Were you in control of where that money went? He lost that money. They went and bought a field of blood, which the foreigners were buried. And he hung there and rotted till his guts spilled out. You know, that's a bad picture. that's what covetousness does to us. It rots us from the inside out. And what do we have left? Do we have family left? No, they're probably chasing that too. Because you started it. In closing today, I want you to think about that. You've got precious lives that are counting on you, on your decisions. And if you don't put Christ on the top there, and you put all these things that are going to be worth nothing, you're going to lose everything like Judas. And at your funeral, who knows what they'll do with you? They'll give you even a good coffin, because you're not in control of that anymore. Covetousness will kill you. It's a poison. Let us stand.